Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every now and again, people ask me, so what do Lutherans think of Mary? Most often, these questions come from folks who were raised Roman Catholic or Orthodox, for whom Mary is a very special saint. And I say, well, you know, for Lutherans, Mary is a role model. She is a human being like all of us, not any more exceptional than you or me. But she was willing to have her life turned upside down by an angel. And she said yes to God's word. Sometimes people emphasize her purity, her obedience, her youth. She was maybe 14 or 15, the age of a confirmation kid, some of my colleagues reminded me. And she was willing to have God's word transform her life so she would bring God's son into the world. I say things like this when I'm asked what Lutherans think about Mary. But let me tell you about one thing that I've never said, but might start saying after this week. Something that's totally in Luke's story, but which I have always missed. And it's this. Mary was one smart cookie. A philosopher, you might even say. For Luke tells us that when the angels came and spoke to Mary, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you," Mary was confused or perplexed, as I imagine any of us, frankly, might be if we had an angel just encounter us in the midst of our daily life. And Luke says, after she was perplexed, that she pondered the angel's greeting. Now, I've never looked that word up that means pondered. But this week I did, just because I was curious about it. And it was like a page-long definition, full of how this word has been used relative to philosophers and the great ancient scientists and thinkers. And then at the very end of the definitions, it also appears in Luke's gospel. It means to examine, to think through, to use reason or logic to weigh the evidence, to test something out in one's mind. This is what Mary was doing when the angel spoke to her. Now, in the telling of the story, it almost seems as though this happened in the flash of a second, but we really have no idea how much time Mary and Gabriel spent together. Maybe they had a really long dialogue about what this greeting meant, of which Luke only records just the teeny tiny bit at the end. "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you," Gabriel said, and Mary pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Is it true that I'm favored? What does favor mean? How is it that the Lord is with me? Who are you, angel? And why should I trust you? I've never seen an angel before. Can we talk about other people you've gone to and talked with? What do we know about angels? Should I trust you and why? And finally, if I'm to bear a son, how can this be? Mary was perplexed and she pondered. Our tradition often has heavily emphasized Mary's virgin body. But the scriptures say, don't forget Mary's mind. The mother of our Lord is in good company with Socrates or Plato. You might even call her a theologian. Imagine her in the ranks of Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani woman who as a teenager became an activist for the education of girls under the Taliban. She survived an assassination attempt, and now she's a Nobel laureate. Mary's intellect is front and center in this story of the incarnation. It's her mind, her thinking, not just her body, that allows her to participate in bringing God the Son into the world. And I think it's fair to say that in this story, God blesses Mary's thinking. I mean, if God did not like Mary's questioning, her pondering, God could have chosen a different path. In fact, earlier in chapter one of Luke's gospel, the angel Gabriel has just gone to an old man, and 5 months before this, the angel Gabriel has gone to an old man named Zechariah in the temple to tell Zechariah that he too will take part in a miraculous birth. Although he and his wife Elizabeth are advanced in years, they will have a son who will become John the Baptist. Zechariah doesn't think when he hears the angel's news. Zechariah just says, bah, can't be so, we're up in years. And Gabriel, what does Gabriel do in the face of Zechariah not thinking? Gabriel gets torqued. He strikes Zechariah dumb for the duration of his wife's pregnancy. He cannot speak. As if to say, as if God were saying, if you can't think before you speak, maybe you shouldn't speak at all. So if God didn't like Mary's thinking, pondering, confusion, God could have done something else. But I think this story tells us that thinking matters. Mary's thinking matters. It's part of being human, and it matters to God. When God came into the world in Jesus Christ, God came as a full human being, body and mind and soul and spirit. I think sometimes when we think about Jesus being God in the flesh, we think of Jesus having like a God mind that happened to just be packaged in a human body. But that's not what incarnation means. Incarnation means that Jesus came with a full human nature. Human body, yes. Arms and legs and feet. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But also a human soul. With human thoughts. Human feelings. And so Jesus did in the fullness of his humanity all the things that we human beings have to do. Like pray, hurt, and yes, think. I mean, if you read the stories about Jesus, you can see it. He was a thinker, a reasoner, a really clever guy. He told amazing stories that drilled down to the core of the religious issues of his day and left his listeners wondering right up to the present day. Ever heard a parable and think, wow, that helps me see the world in a totally different light? He could outsmart all the scholars in questioning the scriptures. Where'd he get that wit from, you wonder? Well, if we take Luke chapter 1 seriously, maybe he learned it from his mom. For see, in the Annunciation and in the Incarnation, God blesses us as whole beings, bodies and minds and spirits together. In her pondering and questioning, Mary anticipates this blessing, helps us see that God's grace can use our thoughts and our questions to break into the world. And thanks be to God for that, because this world can be so messy that sometimes if we aren't questioning, I wonder if we're even alive to it. Life doesn't always work out neatly. And if an angel appeared to any of us, I certainly hope we would take a minute and ask what was going on. But right now, I think this image of Mary as the thinker, the blessed thinker who brings Christ into the world, is especially important because there is a tendency among Christians, and it's especially strong right now, I should say maybe it's a tendency among our world, to oppose faith and reason, faith and science, faith and thinking. Many of us are familiar with folks who say, I can't believe in God because science. But there are also very many people who say, well, I can't believe in science because of God. My husband, who teaches theology, which is the task of thinking through the meaning of the Christian faith, asking questions like, who is Jesus? What does his crucifixion mean? What does his resurrection mean? In his work, he often hears things like, I don't think, Professor, I'm supposed to think about my faith. It's all just a mystery, and I'm supposed to believe it. But Mary was perplexed by the angel and pondered the greeting, and so blessed the world by bearing God's Son. What this tells me is that thinking and reasoning, learning can be God's gift to us. People who are perplexed that people get cancer can spend their lives in research labs pondering, investigating the cures. Farmers who are perplexed by farming techniques that deplete the soil are finding new ways to grow crops. Recently, I read an article about how nurses in the early days of the pandemic were so perplexed at the suffering of their patients that they tried new things in their hospital rooms to bring comfort and relief. And they shared that information with other nurses so that right now, hospitalization, if you've got corona, brings much more healing than it did 8 months ago. I count that thinking, that watching, that pondering those nurses did as a form of grace and healing with which God blesses the world, to be sure. Now, it's true that someone might say that thinking and learning isn't always all good. Even Einstein got some things wrong. And it's true that no human being is infallible. And it is definitely true that we can use minds and knowledge to the detriment of others. As people will often observe, Adolf Hitler was a brilliant man. But that's the work of sin in us. Being human in its totality, body and mind and soul, is by itself good. What we are is good. God made us that way, and God does not want us to turn away from the very gifts that God gave us. Faith is not otherworldly. It's not a set of easy answers to hard questions. It's not an escape hatch from life's difficulties. Faith is trusting that God has planted within us the talents and skills and thoughts and abilities to use right here and right now for the life of the world that God made and which God so desperately loves. So the ability to listen, to take in new information, to change your mind, to develop a new way of seeing, isn't that what Mary did? She was perplexed. She pondered. How can this be? She asked. The angel spoke. Mary heard the word. She said, yes.